You may not want to speak on becoming a forgiving person. What does the dentist remind us to do every time we go to see him?
Brush
your teeth. I should floss my teeth daily. What do we do? Well, we floss our teeth daily for a while and with good intentions, and then we get out of the habit until the next time we see him, and then he reminds us, and then we start flossing him again. Why should we floss? If I want my teeth when I get older, I need to floss them now. That's why I'm talking about forgiveness tonight. We hear about forgiveness a lot when we go to church, but we need to be reminded frequently that we need to do it. Although your teeth are very important, and flossing will save your teeth, forgiveness will save your soul. One of the greatest challenges to human nature is the issue of forgiveness. Those who can't forgive themselves are filled with guilt and despair. Those who won't forgive others are filled with angerness and bitterness. Most miserable people are the people who will never let go of their bitterness. Have you ever met an old bitter man or woman? They can't enjoy life, and those who love them can't enjoy being around them. Bitterness builds a barrier that keeps them caged in and the rest of the world closed out. A bitter person will cling to a hurt from the past and will not let it go, even though they know it's destroying them. To various degrees, we all struggle with bitterness and resentment. When we cling to anger, we punish those that hurt us and we destroy ourselves. We throw a pity party that only we can attend. We may be able to hurt others by our bitterness, but we also become isolated and lonely. Our fleshly nature always seeks what will destroy us, but God's command always restores what the flesh will erode. How many people's lives have you seen been destroyed because they weren't willing to forgive someone? Some people have experienced some terrible things at the hands of another person. Many times those terrible things come from the people that are supposed to love us, even the people that are supposed to protect us. Sometimes we are not willing to forgive a person over some of the smallest offenses. How does a person who has been abused by another person ever forgive them? How does a person who has lost friends and family members at the hand of another ever forgive them? Forgiveness is the most basic Christian quality. Without forgiveness, we wouldn't have Christianity as we know it. Without forgiveness, we'd all be doomed to hell. Sinners without any kind of hope. Knowing this, a proper understanding of forgiveness will transform our relationship with God and with others and ourselves. What does the word forgive mean? The meaning of the word forgiveness is to dismiss, to release, or leave, or abandon. We hear of a judge that has dismissed the charges against the defendant. That person has been forgiven of any wrongdoing that they may have committed. We hear of a person that is released from an obligation such as a loan or a debt. That person has been forgiven. The word forgiveness also has the meaning to restore someone back to their original condition. The person who has been forgiven of a sin then is restored to the condition of not having sinned at all. The sin has been dismissed and he has been released of any penalty. The case against him has been abandoned or dismissed. Forgiving people can be one of the toughest things that Christ commands us to do. But it is something that we are commanded to do. And the message this evening, I hope to give you some practical steps that will help make it easier for us to be forgiving. It is easy to carry a grudge against a person, but if we belong to Christ, then we will learn to be forgiving people. If you are struggling with being able to forgive people, then you really need to listen this evening. God's Word can help you overcome this issue. The text tonight is found in Matthew chapter 18. If you want to turn there. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Peter here starts off with this discussion by asking Jesus a question. Jesus has just spoken to a group about disciplining a brother that has gone astray. After listening to this, Peter wants to know something about forgiveness. Peter is wonderful to have around here because he's not afraid to ask that difficult question that others may be. Either that or he's really annoyed by this brother. He wants to know just how many times he has to forgive him. Verse 21, chapter 18 in Matthew. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." According to Jewish teachings at the time, one should forgive a repentant offender up to four times. It appears Peter is being a little bit generous. Here's Peter willing to go what he thinks is that extra mile, and he says, "How about seven times?" Jesus responds to Peter by saying, not just seven times, but up to 70 times, or 70 times seven. Jesus wasn't giving Peter a number to track, but a principle to follow. We're not supposed to set limits on how many times we are to forgive a person. We're supposed to forgive like Jesus forgives us. Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." How many times has Jesus forgiven you? What number did Jesus say he would no longer forgive you? Forgiving does not mean that if a person abuses you, that you are to go back for more. It means if they repent, we are to release any right that we think we may have to retaliation. We cannot have it in our minds that, especially with our children, that say when they're born, we're only going to forgive them, say, 28 times, and that's it, buddy. The law counts. Grace does not count. Colossians 3, verse 12 through 13. "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." Luke 17, verses 3 through 4. "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." The Old Testament, we have the example of Joseph forgiving his brothers. They hated him. They were going to kill him. They finally sold him into slavery. They allowed his father to think that he had been killed. After Joseph rose to prominence in the Egyptian leadership, he could have had his brothers put to death. In fact, they were afraid that he was going to do that in Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. Look what Joseph says to his brothers to calm their fears. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Set no limits on forgiving people. Second step, a forgiving person will study, will examine the debts that they owe. Let's continue in our text. Verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. And when he had began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Jesus is going to share a parable here to illustrate what he's telling Peter. In the parable, we have a king and a person who owes him a great deal of money. King starts to call in the people who owe him money to settle up. This one particular person owes the king a tremendous amount of money. People have spent a lot of time trying to figure out how much 10,000 talents translates to modern day money. And those in my Bible say 10,000 talents is about 60 million denarii, and one denarius was an average day's wages. I don't believe parables were meant to have every little detail pressed, but we are talking big Bill Gates money here. It's an uncountable number. One thing that will help us be a more forgiving people, or a forgiving person, is when we understand just how much we owe. Keep your finger here on the text and flip over to Luke chapter 7, verses. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 47. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair on her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "You see this woman? I earned your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." When we lose sight of what God has forgiven us for, we tend to think higher of ourselves than we should. When we realize what God has done for us, how much He has forgiven us for, it makes us people who are willing to be more forgiving. Third step, a forgiving person will seek the experience of forgiveness themselves. back to our text. Here's a poor guy who is going to find himself in a seemingly hopeless situation. Verse 25. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. The servant is seeking some mercy from the king. At this point, the slave was not interested in trying to get his debt forgiven. He wanted more time so that he could figure out a way to take care of it himself. So if we don't know what it feels like to be forgiven, then we will not want to let others feel that forgiveness. This looks like a pathetic sight. Here's a man who's in a situation where he has no way out. There's no way he's going to pay this debt. He's looking for anything to stall the inevitable. If you belong to Jesus, you know what it feels like to be forgiven. You know, many of us became Christians a long time ago, but you still know what it feels like that day. You know, when you came up out of the water and you were innocent, forgiven, it felt great. When we seek the experience, we also want to let other people experience it also. Once again, if we do not feel like we have ever done anything that God needed to forgive, then our attitude towards others becomes callous. Why would you let another person's actions destroy you? Fourth step, a forgiving person will avoid the practice of extracting debts from others. Verse 27 here would have been a great place to end this parable. A servant who could not pay back his master had his debt forgiven. Let me ask you how you would have felt coming away from the king. What if you had lost your job and out of work for 6 months and the bank calls, you plead with them for some more time for that mortgage payment, and they say, oh, that $180,000 you owe, yeah, don't worry about it, it's forgiven. That $20,000 worth of credit card or car loans and $10,000 worth of credit card, that computer payment, don't worry, it's all forgiven. Well, the story doesn't end here for the servant. Verse 28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. As soon as this guy leaves the king, he goes looking for a person who owes him equivalent to about 100 days' wages. Servant finds this guy so that he can forgive him his debt also, right? No, wrong. Servant did what the law allowed. He tossed the person who owed him money in jail. This goes a lot to the character of this servant. How many times do we hold on to grudges because we want that person to pay? We should not go through life looking to get what we are owed all the time. I'm not talking about money here. There will come a day when you will not what? You won't want what you're owed. Fifth, a forgiven person will sow what you have received. Verse 31 through the end of the parable. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his transgressions or trespasses. Look at verse 33. I think that's the key. We need to show compassion, to have mercy for others, just as a servant did for the king, just as God does for us. Matthew 6, verse 12. "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Mark 11, verse 25. "Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions." Look at verse 35. It says we're supposed to forgive from the heart. Genuine forgiveness runs deep. It's not a surface patch that we put over a relationship or on a relationship. It's an interchange of the heart towards the offender. Too often we think we have extended forgiveness when we've only covered over our resentment. Jesus warns of the consequences of not forgiving people here in the last few verses of this parable. Bottom line is, if you want God to forgive you, you must forgive other people. It is sad and it's funny. Some people will go through life holding a grudge against someone because they think it hurts that person. The sad truth is it only hurts you. I realize people do bad things to people. What are you going to do about it? I realize people do stupid things to other people. What are you going to do about it? I realize people do insensitive things to other people. Realize people do careless things to other people. Again, what are you going to do about it? I've been on the giving end of all these things, and I thank God that I'm forgiven. Who am I not to forgive someone? Am I bigger than God? What about you? If you want to be a forgiving person, set no limits on forgiveness. Study your own indebtedness. Seek the experience of forgiveness in your life through Jesus. Avoid the practice of extracting debts and give what you have received from God and others. Don't let anger, revenge, and grudges destroy your life and the lives of those that are around you. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Him today. Thanks. Thank you.